Welcome to the Round 4 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm joined this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, everyone.
And we've got a special guest on the podcast this week, and that's Deadsets, a regular throughout our Supercoach Coach community and a member of the Supercoach Coach Veterans Group. So welcome aboard, Deadsets.
Hey, guys. I'm feeling very special tonight.
So, Mark, do you want to lead us this week?
Sure. On the weekend, 23-19, and it jumped up to 24-25. That's 10% of what I was after round one. So pretty happy with where I'm heading. Ryder gets suspended this week. That's probably my major concern. But other than that, feeling pretty good and on my way towards the top 1,000, mate. How'd you go? Did you rise in the rankings?
I'm already in the top 1,000 club. Yeah, and I went up again. So I was sitting about 600, and I've moved up to 534, which is pretty good off the back of a cruiser injury. So I'm looking to fix up McCaffer, probably bring in Crouch or something this week, and fix up Cruiser and bring in Louie, I think.
Deadsets, how did you go, mate?
Yeah, I put in a 2-261. That's probably pretty fortunate to have Cox as my vice-captain.
Nice.
Copy any of the injuries. Yeah, so the scrape through the 2-261 wasn't too bad. Just outside the top 1,000, 1,059. So I just pretty much held firm.
Is that Mark coming last out of three of us?
You know we've got a talented group when I'm the worst supercoach on the show, guys.
Listen to it.
Let's get into it. Let's talk about some players that we might be looking to trade out this week. On the out list, Cruiser. Now, original reports were that it'd be 6 to 8 weeks. I've now revised that down to 3 to 4 weeks. Marcus, I know you have him. You'll be ditching him.
Yeah, and painful too. I can deal with the score. I can deal with the pricing. Just, it sucks to be losing Cruiser because I was really enjoying barracking for him and he was just going awesome with off the back of a good preseason and moving across the ground beautifully. So it's a pain to trade him out, but I think we'll certainly have to. The other player that we have to consider trading out for those that have him, another ruckman in Patrick Ryder, who you have, Mark. So maybe your two cents on that.
This is, it's a bit of a tricky one, to be honest, because it's 3 weeks. And in the past, with lower trades, I think that if I had Ryder and I could cover him with a Sam Rowe type player, then I probably would have had to keep him, especially sort of back when we only had 20 trades. But the 30 trades, my idea going into the season was that if a player was going to be out for 3 weeks, I'd just trade them and be aggressive like that and hopefully don't run out of trades. So I think in that sense, yeah, I'll be moving Ryder on this week. At least I didn't cop the crappy score like you had to with Cruiser, I guess. And the Ryder to Leuenberger trade would be a pretty easy one this week if you don't have Louie and get to pocket a nice little bit of cash out of that one.
Yeah, now, I think you're right, guys. I think you've got to move them on.
What if you had both, Mark?
It depends what else you've got going on, I suppose. If they're your own issues, yeah, I'd be moving them for sure.
Travis Varko is another player that'll need moving on. 3 month shoulder injury and only scored.
You must be devastated, man.
Yeah, so kind of lucked out not selecting him. So my bad to anyone that ended up picking him for your team.
Because you did talk him up a little bit.
Yeah, well, at least he's a cheap. He's a cheaper mid-price, which is good. So at least it wasn't too big a chunk of change that was spent on him. But he'll certainly need to be moved on. And I suspect that people will be probably looking at a downgrade because that price point is very tricky, especially after the first price change and Josh Kennedy shot up from 300 to about 370 now and Monfries is at about 410. So I think Varko is probably a player that's going to be downgraded and moved out of most teams.
Absolutely, mate. Now, the next player on our list is very controversial, I think, and that is Paddy Dangerfield, who has posted, I think, like a 63, 107, 84, just not good enough for 620,000. He's already lost 50,000 off his price. Adelaide, not quite looking the goods. Deadsets, what do you reckon? Would you be trading Danger out or keeping him?
I don't think I would, but then it's easy for me to say because I don't have him. I really do think he'll come good. He's perhaps had some excuses with, you know, the rumour that he had the flu. He sort of faded out round two as well. Perhaps he was looked a little bit underdone. And then the knock he copped on the weekend. So if it was me, I think I'd be giving him at least a couple more weeks to see where he's at. But, yeah, it's a tough call. I don't have him, so it's easy for me to say.
At the start of the week, I was like, yeah, I'm going to totally trade him out. But then Ryder happened and it sort of has limited my options a little bit. But I can see why people would be trading him out.
I think once you've decided to keep him and he's dropped 50K in value after the first week, by trading him out, it's not like you're making value on him because his average is going to drop. He's already priced the average now, I think, like 108 rather than 116 or whatever he averaged last year. So I think based on his current price, if you already kept him for 1 week, then you'd have to hold. And it's 3 weeks seems like these scores seem pretty poor, but we picked Dangerfield because of his immense upside. So it only takes one huge game against a poor club to bump like his average right up.
Yeah.
I think with Danger, probably sit tight. I don't think anyone has him falling out of the top eight averaging midfielders for the year, so I don't think he warrants the trade, especially if you kept him this week. Now, last player to talk about from the outs list is Kane Mitchell. Now, he was subbed again, and so I pulled the trigger on him last weekend and moved him to Dwyer. But for the coaches that still have him, he's bumped back down to the rookie list because who's come back up to their senior list?
Nick Saltimer.
Yeah, so we won't see him until probably mid-season, I think, because they don't have any allocations left on their rookie list for an injury upgrade. So
for us coaches that don't have him, it's actually kind of a pretty good thing because at some point he's going to be an okay downgrade target, you'd think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think also good timing with a play that we're going to talk about in a bit, or we might as well talk about now. So we'll move on to the ins. Brad Crouch heads that list and a prime candidate for Kane Mitchell. Now, after his first game, a lot of us were thinking he's a lock, you beauty, 85 points. 50 on the weekend was a bit more disappointing, but I'm assuming that both of you still calculate him fairly highly, and he's probably, you know, even worth a more expensive price tag if Supercoach so chose to allocate him one. So I think at 116k is a fair bargain, and a lot of people will be seeking to bring him in before he moves in price with a negative 66 break even this week.
What do you reckon, Dead Sets?
Yeah, it looks like the obvious choice, I think, for those guys with Mitchell. He hasn't set the world on fire yet, but you know, they'd be pretty happy with him, I think, so far.
Do you know who else got 50 odd in their second game?
Who'd that?
Ollie Wines. Smashed out a big one in his third, and so did Viney as well. They sort of struggled to make quite as much impact in their second game. So I'd still have fairly high hopes for Crouch. And look, who knows what's going to happen at the selection table with Adelaide, because they did lose on the weekend, a game that they probably should have won after they were five goals up. But yeah, he looks the best option. Now, the next one is Matty Leuenberger. Thoughts on Louis, that's it.
You know, I'm pretty keen on him. We've talked a little bit about this during the week, and I'm looking at bringing him in, you know, for one of my premium rucks that have nothing wrong with them at all. They're either Sauce Jacobs or Griffin. So I just think at his price, you know, he averaged over 100 a couple of years ago. We know the scoring system's even better for rucks nowadays. So, you know, he's looking good. I think he's definitely, people should be considering him, definitely.
What you're actually looking at, Dead Sets, is not a correction trade or anything of the like. You're just looking at turning a premium ruckman that you have into Leuenberger because he's underpriced, so you're just seeking to make some money out of the trade. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it, mate. I just think he's only going to play another 3 to 4 games, and he's already up around the 500k mark. So, you know, if he gets through the next 3 to 4 with the 30 trades we have this year, you know, if something goes awry, you can slip him back out again. But if he stays fit, you know, he'll be great for, you know, sort of your R2 position, I think.
How do you feel about that tactic, Mark? If you don't actually have something to fix and you have trades to spare this week, would you be looking at downgrading a premium ruckman to Leuenberger just because he holds so much value at his current price?
Yeah, that's a really tricky one, because you can't sort of use the DPP if, like, in Dead Set situation, he's got Jacobs and Griffin, so he can't move Cox forward or anything in order to sneakily get Leuenberger into his team. Look, it's probably not a path that I'd go down, but I can definitely understand it, and it does make sense in the fact that, like, there might not be much scoring difference between Jacobs and Leuenberger, yet you're picking up a couple hundred thousand, so you're actually not losing any points but getting, or not losing any premiums for your team, but picking up a couple hundred thousand. So if I was in that situation, I can definitely understand that it would make sense. And with 30 trades, mate, people are definitely looking to go pretty aggressive this year, I think, and just get that side in as quick as they can.
Yeah, I think that's the key. You know, the 30 trades in the other year, you surely wouldn't consider something, you know, as bold as that. But this year, I guess we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, I've actually done something like that in the past, so, and that was with less trades, so I'm definitely a big advocate for that. And I was actually looking at doing that myself before Cruiser went down, and I love my Ruckman.
I guess it comes down to, is Leuenberger likely to be a must-have selection this year?
How you evaluate that's probably how you evaluate his injury risk, I guess, because assuming he stays on park, I think most of us would have him as a must pick. or I certainly do it anyway, but it's his actual ability to deal with the injury. But at his current price point, I'd say that most people are going to run the risk that, yes, he'll deal fine with it, because if he does, he's going to shoot up about 200K in price and be an absolute bargain. Anyway, on to another player on the bubble, and that's Callum Sinclair playing for the West Coast Eagles. Didn't play the first game, but they really struggled with their ruck division, and he was brought in. So he does have that ruck forward swing eligibility similar to Rowe, 112.2K, and first two scores, 41 and 81. Looks like he's going to keep his spot for a little while, playing some good footy, and importantly, Nick Nat's still not in calculations for at least a while yet. Should be enough time for him to mature in price. How do you guys feel about his selection if anyone's looking for a spot in their forward or ruck divisions?
Andrew?
If you do already have Ryan, you're looking for somebody else. Yeah, he should do okay. He hasn't really come into calculation for myself, but...
The 80-odd was against Melbourne. That's what
he looked about. He's certainly got a spot in the team, hasn't he, there? So, you know, he should do okay.
And with the ruck forward, you do, if he doesn't quite work out, you do have a little bit of flexibility with that. I think a lot's going to depend on when Nick Nat comes back, because, like, there's some reports saying he's 2 to 3 weeks away still, and... Yet there's been others saying he's a couple of months away, so there's still a fair bit of doubt on that, I think.
For those that don't have Sammy Rowe, I think Sammy Rowe is probably a better pick still than Sinclair. Just after his game on the weekend, he should have well and truly moved ahead of Levi Casbolt, I think.
Cruiser out as well.
Yeah, to me, he seemed like one of the better forward presence up the ground, and I was definitely very impressed, and yeah, should be in for decent price increases for the weeks to come, and he might actually be used as a cash cow more than a swing player, which is surprising, because I didn't really call that at the start of the season, but broke into the side very quickly.
What about Hutchins from the Gold Coast? He's available as a defender, started in ripping form, really dominating early, a couple of 80-plus scores, I think, so... Is he someone that we should be looking at this week? Would you take him ahead of Turlick, who's also on the bubble?
Yeah, no, look, I don't. Other than having a look at his numbers today, I hadn't really heard a lot about him. So I think I'd take anyone over a Melbourne player if I could help it, though, to be honest.
I think his pedigree is supposed to be a lot better than Turlick's, but Turlick's performed pretty well, and you'd think that the way Melbourne are going, that he's secured his position. So in terms of job security, you'd think that Dean's probably ahead of Hutchins from the Gold Coast. Mark, have you watched either of their games, and who do you prefer?
I think I probably prefer Hutchins, just the fact that he's scored so well, and it depends whether you're looking for someone to be a slow burner or someone that's going to get you, hopefully, quickly get you some dollars into your team. So Turlick looks maybe a slightly better longer-term proposition, but then on one of the shows, it might have been On the Couch or Insiders, maybe they were saying they gave Turlick the kick-in duties, and they basically showed, like, 8 or 9 different kick-ins that went straight to the opposition. So that could be a little bit of a concern. But then they said that he, as a second gamer, he shouldn't have been given that responsibility for Melbourne anyway. And I guess Jack Watts often takes that responsibility normally. So personally, I'd take Hutchins, but I think they're actually both good selections. Both look better than bloody Brown, who stunk it up on the weekend. Hopefully he gets picked this week.
And they both have really good draws coming up, which is obviously very important for a rookie. How Hutchins has Port Adelaide this week isn't that easy anymore, but GWS next week, Frio, and then Melbourne. So a nice run. And Melbourne have GWS, Brisbane, Carlton, and then the Suns. So it should be some decent games rookie-wise for them as well. So both look good from that point of view. Now, Justin Westhoff is going to get another talk about just because he's pushed off absolutely massive scores.
Is he the real deal?
I guess the only real person that you consider trading to him this week is probably Varka, I guess.
What about like a Ryder or Cruiser sort of situation, depending on the dual position?
Well, I guess the problem is now that his price is already at 500,000. So he has gone up, I think, 70,000 with one price movement.
That's like rookie price rise.
Yeah. So I think right now he's pretty well priced. That I think could probably give him a pass. If you were thinking about him last week before his 70K price increase, probably. But no, not for mine, not at this price point.
What do you reckon, Dead Sets?
Yeah, I have to agree, really. I mean, if he continues, you know, that'd be great, but surely you can't get him. Can Port get going as well as they are?
Well, I think that's probably the question for me, is Port have had a really easy draw in the first 2 weeks and then played Adelaide in the showdown, and sort of anything can happen in the showdown. So I think that some of the scores coming out of Port can be quite deceptive, and I think owners of Momfries and Boak and those sort of players are probably and even the rookies like the Pittard and Stevenson and co are going to see a little bit of a slight drop off in their scores, although even though their draw is still decent for the next 3 or 4 weeks, surely that's going to hit at some stage. Now, yeah. Buddy Franklin, if you didn't start with him, he's dropped about 30K, 588. Is he someone we should be looking to get in just yet?
Yeah, well, yeah, to be honest, if you told me that he'd come out from his first three games with an average of 99.6, I think most people would have been pretty happy because you started him knowing that he's the highest averaging forward for the year. But I think most people were expecting to have to rough out the first 7 weeks with the very tough Hawthorn draw. But the first three weeks, apart from the game against Geelong where he only scored 62 and again really hated that game style, Hawthorn just bombed it long to Harry Taylor, who this week Brad Scott just described as the best key position defender and the reason they rethought their whole game plan on the weekend against Geelong. So apart from that game, he scored absolutely brilliantly and certainly ruining the fact that I traded him to Cruiser at the moment. But yeah, for anyone that doesn't have him, and that's me included now, look to bring him in for sure.
He's on my radar this week.
Wow, how are you looking to bring him in?
I'm going to have a fair bit of cash left over, mate, so I can actually do Ryder to Leuenberger and McCaffrey to Buddy if I want to.
Whoa!
Wow.
They have Fremantle, which is a very tough gig this week. Then they have North Melbourne.
At Aurora. Buddy loves Aurora.
North Melbourne, Adelaide, and Sydney, which is all right. They could come out 3-0 from there. Then after that, they have GWS, Gold Coast, and Melbourne before the bye. So an absolutely ripping run after that.
Did you say Giants, then Suns, then Melbourne?
Yeah, I think most people will be wanting to hit Buddy before that breakout games because he might kick 13 goals and score 200 points again.
Definitely a possibility. Let's get to some listener questions, guys. This one's for you, Marcus, from Jeff Palmerose. Is Gus Monfries the real deal?
Woo! Well, we actually don't get to find out again this week because Port Adelaide
are playing the Suns.
Gold Coast, woo! So hopefully another big score, and if he goes crashing back to reality, who cares? He's gone up in price. But nah, to be honest, watching the games, I think he is real deal super coach scoring wise. He actually starts in center bounces, which is something I wasn't expecting. I thought, you know, even when he gets the midfield time, he'd be the winger who's running into the center bounce. But he's actually starting at center bounces. He plays a completely outside game, even though he's decent in inside contests. And he's moving across the ground really well. You'll see him get possessions in the back line, midfield and forward line. And he can kick goals as well and lay tackles. So I think he just gets enough scoring across the different categories. And he moves around the ground enough and he has enough freedom at Port Adelaide to gain enough disposals for good points each week. But he could still be taken back to reality, but I think one more at least big score, I think, coming up this week, and hopefully that'll be enough to see his price rise, because he's definitely not a keeper, I don't think, no.
Okay, well, I think that's sort of pretty key to the question, whether he's a keeper or not.
Yeah.
And it's in the sense of it is a real deal, because you're paying sort of over $400,000 for him now, so he's not a mid-pricer anymore. So I think that's really a key part of it.
Yeah, well, I think players can average 95, and you know there's still marginal selections, especially now that we're dropping from 7 forwards down to 6. So I think if he averages 95, he can still shoot up a lot in price, you know, off the back of a couple of big games, or even one big game.
And yeah, so 95 is the real deal, I guess.
Yeah, but really you don't want to be keeping 95 this year, I think, because I think it looks like the F6 from this year, we might even be able to get the worst forward playing in our teams as 105 point per game player. If Rockliffe, Bartel and stuff all average 105, we might actually see that, which we haven't seen in years past. I don't think 105 average stretching all the way out to the sixth spot in the forward line. So, yeah, I think might be a bit more aggressive this year.
Did either of you guys see Sam Mays on the weekend? Did mention him on the Sunday night show that he's about 155,000 and mid-forward eligible. Looked fantastic in his first game for the Lions. If you had Varko, would you consider waiting around a week to see whether Mays is worth picking up?
I've actually seen him, but you know, obviously I've read a lot about him this week. Yeah, I think if I could cover it, he probably would be worth, you know, one more week to check him out.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be bringing Mays in off one game.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, especially with the options this week. I mean, you got Hutchins in the back line, who's an easy pick. Turlick, you've got Crouch in the midfield, who's an easy pick. And ruck forward eligibility, Rowe and Sinclair also on the bubble. So I think it's pretty hard to warrant that off one week as well. Yeah, I agree there. But certainly look out to the future. He could be one of those players that's worth the extra price. But
I'm seeing a bit of a trend that people are becoming much more willing to use a lot more trades early this year, as I've already mentioned in the show. Steve asks, can the round three, two correction trades be extended to four or even six if your players are losing value? I think that there's a few coaches out there sort of heading down this track. What do you reckon, Dead Sets?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people are. I'm not sure whether it's the right move, but I wonder, you know, we keep these 30 trades, whether or not, you know, perhaps we'll start looking at using the two, you know, after round one and then a two again after round three. I think heading into round four, you know, it really depends on you know, who's been playing. But I've certainly used two after round one. You know, I use one after round two. So, yeah, I think the proof will be in the pudding, I think, to be honest. But you don't want to be chasing. I don't want to be doing too many sideways, I think. So, yeah, I was in the past, it was two, maybe three, you know, you get away with. Yeah, maybe four, maybe five now. But well, I don't know. I don't really know what the answer's going to be to that just yet.
Now, Marcus, you had Cruiser go down last week. Mm. You already have to blow an injury trade, and yeah, you traded him in 2 weeks earlier. Does that make you a little bit gun shy about using those trades, or well, you think go for it?
Yeah, I'll be down to 25 if I actually trade out McCaffrey this week, which I'm very inclined to do for Crouch. In fact, I'm ruining not doing it last week when I had the opportunity to, and I'm considering it because that might have allowed me to think about maybe bringing in Hutchins or Sinclair for Curry and just stock up my team with old playing players.
So you'd go down to 24.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think we saw that last year the winning team ended up making heaps of sideways trades, more than most players do, and he ended up winning the competition because, you know, what it comes down to is nailing the right players at the right times. You can make the mistakes with your trades, but you just need to nail the right players. And I think this year, for me, it's just go all out because there's heaps of coaches trying to do that. And if one person's nailing everything with 30 trades, you're going to be hard pressed to find a way to get back in the back end of the season. So based off that, I think go aggressive from the start and try to get ahead and stay ahead rather than try and peg points back that way. So depends on your team. If you've only got a couple of mistakes, you only need to make a couple of corrective trades. But I think if you have six, go ahead, make six corrective trades. I have absolutely no issue with that. And I've got plenty of playing rookies on my bench spots, but looking at Daniel Curry still makes me wonder, you know, is it worth actually trying to find Sinclair to come in for Curry, or would that not be worth the trade? So
now I think our listeners will love hearing that because trading is the most fun part of this game. So go out and trade more. Everyone's going to love to hear that and pull a trigger. Now, Deadsets, I know that you sort of think a bit more about leagues sometimes with your trading. Do you think that you can be burning four, six correction trades if you're going for a league result?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any difference. I mean, the thing that people miss sometimes with leagues is not, you know, getting a good starting team and getting those early wins on the board. You know, getting into the back end half of the year, if you're in the top four, well, you can take it easy a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes. It's kind of the same as the overall. When you're chasing the points late, if you're kind of chasing the wins, you might be forced into doing things you perhaps you shouldn't have. And I absolutely think you should go hard in leagues, go out hard early, and just try and stay in front.
Yeah.
It's actually quite sound advice, and I think it's something that not a lot of people get. That maybe you really need to get those early wins on the board in the league and try and get to that top four position, and sort of it's so much easier to make a grand final and get lucky in 1 week of the finals, sort of thing. If you can lock in that top four position. Now, you're a Saints man, Dead Sets.
I am.
Ben asks, thinking of Nick Riewoldt this week, scores of 99, 110, and 122, and is a proven premium in the past. What are your thoughts?
We've only won two or three, and we haven't had it that tough yet. Look, I love Nick, obviously. And, you know, perhaps he can continue on that trend, but, you know, it's going to get harder for us at times. And I couldn't see much improvement out of him. And an old body, knees, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's a bit of a risk.
And he has Jake Carlisle probably lining up on him this week, so that's a guaranteed fail for him.
Well, there's 60 points if he's lucky there, I think so, yeah. I wouldn't myself.
Who is the best pure ruck option for Ryder? Out of Goldstein, McAvoy, or Marek?
Ooh, this is an interesting one because I actually have to take a look at the price changes.
Goldstein's I think,
516. You've got McAvoy at 574 and Marich at 597. So Goldstein's by far the cheapest, and he's already gone up 20K in price.
And he's had tough opposition the first 3 weeks. Mm. Not ruck opposition, but tough team opposition.
You know, if you were doubting him, he's certainly sort of proved his doubters wrong. I haven't actually seen him play yet, but his numbers have been huge. So.
Yeah, I think from a value point of view, I certainly do like Goldstein, especially he's shown that he can produce the numbers in the proper season, and he looks like he's going to hold his spot now, and it's not really going to be too much of an issue. I don't think we're going to have the reoccurrence that we had last year where he got absolutely dominated by Sanderlands and managed like only a handful of touches. So I don't think we'll see that again this year.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to back him in. And at that price, you do like the value that he presents. But I said it in the preseason, Mark, and you know it because I was trying to talk McAvoy up. But you know dead sets as a St Kilda supporter. Big Benny McAvoy is at a ripping season so far.
Yeah, I think my issue in the preseason was Tom Hickey, but Hickey only sort of played the first game and got injured and hasn't played since, which has allowed McAvoy to get a bit more of the ball and a bit more on the ball time. So Hickey will come back, and that's probably a little bit of a concern there. I think that Marek will end up as the highest averaging out of those three, but I'd almost go Goldstein. I really like the value there, and I think he's shown some really good signs so far. So you'd think that Dora and Curry would get a game at some stage, but Goldie, the pressure is working for him.
Yeah, I really can't really disagree with any of it. I think it's a pretty tough call. I think I'd probably take Marek myself. You know, the Marlott, we know how good he is, but and Goldie, you really can't knock him, and we know how hard McAvoy tries. So yeah, it's a tough call, but I'm gonna go Marek.
All right, Nathan's got a question for us. He wants to trade out Matthew Wright, who has actually been a bit disappointing the last 2 weeks after sort of killing it in round one. Steve Johnson or Chappie? Who will score more for the year? Injuries you have to take into that. It's a close one, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, and people are getting to consider Steve Johnson. We haven't had to had the pleasure of getting to think about having Steve Johnson in our team.
So you're taking Johnson then?
Oh, yeah, easily. 75 in his first game back, 516. But
you were watching the game live, Marcus, because I know that you were there. Yeah. Did you actually notice him get injured, though? Because he definitely took a knock to that knee and had a bit of a cut on it and actually struggled with that for a bit of the game.
Yeah, sore, but no issues with getting up this week, as far as I know. So I'll definitely see him rocking up this week. The great thing about Johnson is extremely high upside. And the consistency at which he hits his upside against the poor teams. And sometimes you get the Patrick Dangerfields coming up against the poor teams, but then you never know. Scott Thompson might be the one who gets off the chain, and he's the one that scores 150. But Steve Johnson, when he plays against the poor opposition, you can be sure that he's the one that's going to be kicking four goals and getting 30 disposals and scoring 150 Supercoach points. So definitely like him, and like the fact that Geelong have played three reasonably tough opposition. We're supposed to have a tougher run to start the season, so Hawthorn's cleared out of the way.
After round five, that draw does open up a little bit. One of our regular listeners, Nate, did put to me today, mate, that the biggest concern with the podcast is your girly voice every time you start talking about Geelong. What do you have to say about that?
All right, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I'll cop that on my chin. Can't help it. I'm getting excited again this year. You know, every alternate year. 2013's the year for another flag, boys.
Now, what do you reckon about this, Dead Sets? Thinking of benching Ryder for a few weeks and playing Rowe in the forward line to save trading. Ryder's last score was promising. What do you reckon?
Look, I don't think so. I mean, Rowe's doing well, but yeah, this year we've got the trades. Nah, get rid of him. Bring in a premium ruck and, save Rowe just in case you need him.
So, one more question, Dead Sets. Would you bite the bullet on Comer to Crouch? In the past, this would be, you wouldn't think so after he scored 91 on the weekend and it's only a 2-week suspension, but is this year things different in that respect?
I think there's an advantage probably to keeping him, for a bit of a slow burner. You know, we don't necessarily need all our rookies to peak at the same time. So if everything else is fine, you can cover him for a few weeks. I could see the value in keeping him, but, you know, Crouch is there. So, yeah, I think you could probably go either way with it. If all your other rookies are fine, yeah, I wouldn't be against keeping him. He's looked great. You probably agree with that, Mark. You've been watching him more closer than I have.
Yeah, he was very instrumental in getting us back in the game on the third quarter on Friday night. And that's a big call on someone playing their third game. Just his pressure acts are just fantastic. And that's obviously why he's got his spot in the side over the summer. And definitely some people saying he might not be able to get back in after those 2 weeks, and there's probably a little bit of truth in that, but I think that he has proven himself in our best 22 because he can impact a result and get us a win when it's unlikely, and that's what we're going to need come finals time. So I think, I've been pretty impressed. I think he will come back into the team.
Is that too risky to wait for, though, just because, you know, in 2 weeks' time, if Common doesn't get the gig, you're sort of left with whoever you can find. And it's quite an awkward spot, in a couple of rounds' time, round five, searching for for downgrade targets, because you might start, you know, cannibalizing the four downgrade targets that you want to do in, you know, in a couple more weeks' time after that.
Yeah. He's also a sub candidate, which means, because he would be a really great sub, and I think he was a sub in round two, so that means when he comes back, there is a threat that he might come in and get a 10, and then you were like, damn, I wish I hadn't have hold him. But with that said, I think that the general tone of the show has been trade, trade, trade. I think you still want to be a little bit conservative, and you really are going to actually need these trades, and you've got to make, you still have to look to be making the most return for your team that you can out of a trade. And I'm not necessarily sure that Commodore Couch has that return personally. And there are going to be other spots come up during the year where you're going to be like, oh, I wouldn't mind an extra trade here to be able to do something.
I have to agree that, you know, it's a more than sensible route to go down. But I think for me, just going to go aggressive this year with my trading and try it. Get the trades right if I can. And I think Crouch is an opportunity for a cheap rookie that's going to average more than what you're actually paying for him. I think I would happily be paying an expensive price tag for him, like Wines or like Whitfield. So
sure, I think a little bit of this probably comes as a result of your results from the last couple of years. You've finished in the top 500 but haven't got the win. And
they've had trades to burn.
Yeah, so to some extent, you're actually thinking, I'm just going to go all out and try and take that next step this year. And, I mean, you're sitting 500, then I can definitely see where you're coming from, that you sort of give it a crack to try and finish first. And it's definitely possible with that strategy that we'll be talking about Marcus sitting in 20,000th come round 20th. There is a downside possibility, but it could also go off, and I really hope it does for you, mate. And we can be having a top 10 ranked host of the podcast in a short time.
All right. So I guess that wraps up this week's show. It's been a rather big episode, and it's been absolutely fantastic to have Deadsets on.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. It's been great.
So all of the best for the upcoming round. Hopefully all of us have big scores, and Supercoach Coach continues to do well. I noticed we've got 5 leagues in the top 20 mark, and importantly, I think 4 of them are public leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had 5 in the top 20, I think, every week so far this season. So hopefully they can keep it up. I know some of our followers and listeners to this show have been ranked in the top 10 already so far this season. So, yeah, we definitely love to see our listeners and people that are involved in the community doing really well.
Speaking of people who are doing really well, a sneaky little brag for you, Mark, because you didn't get a chance to brag because rankings haven't come in yet. But Sportle, you're number 2.
Number 2 in the world, mate. And don't have Cruiser or any major issues to deal with. I do have Paddy Ryder, but I don't have Lundberger yet, so it's kind of almost convenient that I can just move him across in that competition. Yeah, I'm pretty happy to be 2nd in the world in that competition and a fair bit up for grabs. I have Kane Mitchell, though, so I guess I'll probably be looking at probably double trading again with Mitchell to Crouch and Ryder to Louis.
Sitting pretty, mate. Not that we care too much, because it's not Supercoach. But what's the prize, mate?
50K.
I think 25K Sportle for first prize. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, 50K in prizes all around.
Oh, well, I don't really care either then.
Yeah, it's great money still. You're doing all right, Mark. I've slid down a bit. I had both Cruiser and Varco, but I'm still hanging tight, Mark. I'm 24th, so I'm nipping at your tail there.
Oh, and, wow.
Don't forget, guys, to head over to supercoachcoach.com.au, register for an account, and be eligible to join our $1,000 cash group prize. And also, we're giving out $100 a week for the best weekly article and talking about authors Deadsets have written, claiming bragging rights, an article about trading for the leagues. So head over to supercoachcoach.com.au to check that out and give them a bit of a comment.
Yeah, we'd love to see some feedback.
Put out, chat. Don't make me crazy. Don't make me crazy.